about Tzvi Huda Kain Cook. Tzvi Huda was born in 1891 and died in 1982. 1891 and died in 1982. In addition to being a very influential person himself, he was the son of the famous Rav Kook, Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Kook. His name is Rav Tzvi Huda HaKohen Kook. His childhood, we'll start with that, he was born in a place called Zaumel, Z-A-U-M-E-L, it's Dirkovno, which is Lithuania. He was born in Leil Pesach. He was kind of named after the Netziv. Netziv was Naphtali Tzvi Yehuda. He's only Tzvi Yehuda. He doesn't have the Naphtali part, but Rav Kook named him after his Rebbe, the Netziv. He moved to Israel at age 13 with his father. There he was educated right here in the Old City in a place called Toras Chaim Yeshiva under Rav Zerach Epstein. He was viewed as a real genius, a real goon. He was, they allowed him into special shirim that others were not allowed to. He was real as a young Eloy. Even though others were not allowed into certain shirim, they let him in. They made exceptions for him, knowing his family and knowing his godless ability to learn. He learned in other yeshivas in the Old City, Prat Yosef. He learned abroad in Germany. There he married a woman named Chava Hutner, who was the daughter of Yehuda Hutner, and they had no children all of their life, unfortunately. What? Chava Hutner, H-U-T-N-E-R, daughter of Yehuda Hutner. I don't think it's related to Yitzhak Hutner, the Shiva of Chaim Berlin, but I'm not sure. And he had no children. Didn't adopt or anything. We pointed out his father was one of the major Gedolei Yisrael, Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kook, and his grandfather was the Adaret, Rav Kook's father-in-law. He's had a very important position at Rosh Shiva of Yeshiva Merkaz HaRav. His father, Rav Kook, Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kook, opened the yeshiva, started the yeshiva called Merkaz HaRav. I'm not sure what it was called at the time, but it was named after Rav Kook. They called him HaRav. They called him Merkaz HaRav, and his son, Rav Yitzchak. Sorry. When Rav Avraham Yitzchak died, his son, Tzvi Yehuda, took over. Not immediately. There was a small point in time in between where one of Rav Kook's major Talmidim took over. His name was Rav Yaakov Moshe Chalap. Rav Kook had several major Talmidim. One was his son. One was Rav Yaakov Moshe Chalap. One was the Nazir, whose name was Rav David HaKohen. He was a Nazir. One was Rav Aryeh Levine. He had others. He was a Nazir for more than 30 days. A Stam Nazir is 30 days. A person says, I'm a Nazir. It doesn't specify for how long. Becomes a Nazir for 30 days. If he says, I'm a Nazir for more, he'll become a Nazir for more. So after Rav Kook was the Rosh Shiva, Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kook, so Rav Yaakov Moshe Chalap took over. And after Rav Yaakov Moshe Chalap, Rav Tzvi Yehuda HaKohen Kook took over. Just in case you're interested in the lineage, when the Tzvi Yehuda passed away, so Rav Avraham Shapiro took over. Rav Avraham Shapiro passed away a year or two ago. And his son, Rav Yaakov Shapira, took over. If I'm not mistaken, I don't think so, but I'm not sure. All of them, except Rav Yaakov, who's still alive, are buried across the street, across the hill, on Harazesim, all next to each other. Rav Tzvi Yehuda took over as Rosh Hashiva in 1952, when Rav Yaakov Moshe Chalap passed away. And he had a very significant... There's been a significant transition that took place under his reign as Rosh Yeshiva. A different type of Talmud came to the yeshiva. Israeli-raised Talmidim, a poster from Europe. Kippah Srugah wearing Talmidim. No longer were they European or even old-time Yerushalmi in their nature. It was more progressive. It was more Zionistic. The yeshiva went under major transformation, partially because it was a new... student clientele, partially because it was more Talmidim who needed to get educated, and therefore the new Talmidim changed the shape and structure and style of the yeshiva, and partially based upon the new Rosh Yeshiva. Tzvi Yehuda was slightly different from his father, although it's debated significantly in the Merkaz world whether they were the exact same or a little different or significantly different. We'll see a little bit of different hashkafas and potential schisms in Hashkaf or schisms even culturally that may have taken place. But the Shiva went under, transformation. The Shirim were now delivered in Hebrew, or the Yiddish. Under Rav Tzvi Yehuda, there was more of a focus on Machshava, on Hashkafa, on Emuna, and they called all three categories, really, they called Emuna. Rav Kook's works, Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kook's, were learned as, you know, as a Seder, the Seder opposed to just in reference, and you would have a Seder in Rav Kook, you'd learn it an hour at night, or an hour in the afternoon. Opposed to Stam, you had something interesting, you looked it up, or, you know, you wanted to look something up, or it was one of many Sfarim learned. This was really one of the primary Sfarim learned. Rav Kook's, Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen's Sfarim were used to develop Emuna, used to develop Hashkafa. A lot of them are white volumes. They call them the white Shas. And the idea is that they're as important as the Gemara itself, which is the white Shas. The Shas then is the white Shas. In the Merkaz HaRav world, that's the way you would talk, and this really took place a lot under Rav Tzvi Yehuda's, under his reign as Rav Shiva. White Shas, or Shas HaLavan in Hebrew. W-H-I-T-E, because all the Sfarim are white. And they print them. Partially because more people were living in Israel, the Orthodox world was growing in Israel, they were developing their own instead of, you know, old Yerushalmim. There was a new Zionistic community, and it was probably a combination of both. It was probably a combination of looking for new Talmidim, as well as a need for education, educating these Talmidim, as well as a little bit of different Hashkafa. It was a combination of a few factors, but yeah. The impact was they kind of separated themselves from the Haredi world. While originally Rav Kook, Rav Yitzchak HaKohen Kook, had a lot more interaction with random with the Haredi world. There was give and take back and forth. There was debates back and forth. You know, if I'm not mistaken, the Satmar Rebbe accused the Gera Rebbe of being more like Rav Kook than anyone else. No, that's not true. He said, this Avraham and that Avraham, one is Rav Avraham Alter, one is Rav Yitzchak HaKohen Kook. He said, they're really the same. They're really much different. But the Gera Rebbe went to go meet Rav Kook, and they disagreed on a lot of issues, but they were, you know, and the Satmar Rebbe attacked him, used him. But the point that I'm making is that they interacted with each other, they spoke to each other, there was give and take. If I'm not mistaken, Rav Kook was Mesader Kedushin at Rav Eliyashiv's wedding. It may have been Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, I forgot which one, it may have even been both, I don't remember, but at least one of them. Meaning, the Haredi Posek Hador, the one who was his Rav, Mesader Kedushin for him was Rav Kook. These days, you don't find that so much. There's a much greater split between the Tzioni world and the Haredi world, and I guess part of Rav Kook, Rav Tzvi Yehuda's being Rosh Shiva of Merkaz HaRav helped create, on one hand, build the Tzioni world, and build a Torah-oriented Tzioni world, but it created for a little bit of a schism for the Haredi world. I'm saying, I apologize, Rav Kook was in the tradition of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. They separated from the Haredi world a little bit, but again, you see earlier on the stories of Rav Kook and Rav Sonnenfeld when they were younger. You know, Rav Aryeh Levine, his daughter, who was a significant Talmud of Rav Kook, his daughter married Rav Eliyashiv, who was the Haredi Posek, you know, Posek Adar. There was a very strong integration between them, partially because of the lack of, you know, partially because from Rav Kook with Rav Shiva, they were more similar, but also the Talmudim changed and also just the religious world grew. I mean, in the times of Rav Kook in 1948, when the Hakamas Medina, when the state was established, there were four yeshivas. There was Merkaz HaRav, and there was Panovich, and there was the Mir, and maybe, I don't know what else. Maybe not. Four yeshivas, five yeshivas. These days, it's four yeshivas just walk on this block. You walk in any direction, you see 10 yeshivas. There's a lot more room for there to be gaps and schisms, but a lot of that took place under Rav Tzvi Yehuda's, under his reign. The general philosophy, you know, he was very famous. He, his father, I'm not sure exactly which one said it, both have been attributed to the quote, "Don't complain about darkness, spread light." Tremendous passion and love for Klal Yisrael, tremendous passion and love for Eretz Yisrael. You know, I think in 1967, or just before, no, I'm going to take that out. In comparison to his father, there were a lot of similarities, but there are differences. There are similarities in the sense that the Gula would come from the Zionist world, the Zionistic, even secular Zionism was a racist Michas Gula thing. Even a secular person living in Israel was building towards the Gula, and even a secular person thinking of a secular song was Mekayim Mitzvah Yishev Eretz Yisrael, building towards the Messianic days, etc., etc. He saw, very similar to his father, seeing history as the Yad Hashem, almost integrating between Torah and history, and I think with Tzvi Yehuda, in other words, recognizing Yad Hashem Hashkacha Pratis in history, recognizing how the world is building in a process, how history leads towards Medina Yisrael and towards the Geula, etc., etc. I think Tzvi Yehuda used to say the way the Hebrew word for history is historia. So it's spelled with a tet, or Tzvi Yehuda used to spell it with a tav, which means Hester Koh, as if to say Hashem's name is the hidden. It's God, history is really God being hidden. Yeah, it's not the real truth. That's not where the word comes from. He spelled it with a tet, with a tav, opposed to a tet, indicating that either it was a joke or maybe he really felt it, but he felt it was Hester Koh, it was Hashem's hidden. You know, Hashem's hidden way, Hashem being hidden throughout history. The interpretation of historical events leading to Israel, or Tzvi Yehuda's Six-Day War, and Likud's rise to power in 1977, Menachem Begin becoming prime minister. These were not just random events, but these are building towards the future of Klal Yisrael, etc., etc. Whether there are differences or not is debatable, but I'll point out what the critics think there are, and, you know, other people not. Many people think that Rav Tzvi Yehuda was much more extreme, more radical, more of a Zionist than his father. He misinterpreted his father. There were those who remained closer to the old Yerushalmi model of Rav Tzvi Yehuda. If I'm not mistaken, Rav Huttner is probably the best example of it. Rav Huttner used to have, Rav Yitzchak Huttner, the Rosh Yeshiva of Rav Chaim Berlin, of the Chaim Berlin Yeshiva in Brooklyn, used to have three pictures up on his wall. One was the Alter Mislavodka, Nassim Finkel. One was Rav Zalman Meltzer, who was a Magid Shir, a Rebbe of his, and learning. And one was Rav Kook, who he really felt that he gained a lot of Hashkafa from at a younger age. And as... What? No, Rav Kook? No, it's a different one. But Rav Yitzchak Huttner, his Talmud, I think later on in the years, took Rav Kook's picture down. And it was much after he died. It wasn't because I think he disagreed with Rav Kook, as much as it was, he disagreed with where the Kook Talmidim were taking it, where Tzvi Yehuda and others were taking it. There's a Rebbe in Yeshiva Lakotel named Rabbi Shai Steinberger, who gives a shiur called Understanding Rav Kook Through His Talmud Mosach's Perspective, Rav Huttner. And his basic theory is, again, along the same lines, hashkafically, Rav Huttner took more of Rav Kook than Rav Tzvi Yehuda did. Rav Tzvi Yehuda kind of took it to the side. Again, Rav Tzvi Yehuda would argue, no, I'm exact following of my father, and many of the Merkazic would agree as well, but it's much debated. Sounds pretty simple, huh? I guess there's certain elements that, you know, first of all, reading Rav Kook and understanding what he's talking about is not the least difficult. It's not just the language is difficult, but the concepts are difficult, and there's different perspectives of what Rav Kook really meant, and there's certain parts where it's more this way, and certain parts more it's that way, and certain parts where, you know, where you get the whole picture of it, you know what I mean? I guess that would probably be... And there's writings and there's stories and we spoke and there's a lot, you know, there's a lot going on. Now, you know, okay. There are many people who think the exact same thing. You know, they speak about the theology is the same, just the circumstances were different. Nowadays it's past the Six-Day War, now it's past Hakamas Medina. Rav Kook never saw Hakamas Medina. He died before 1948. Rav Kook never saw the Six-Day War. Rav Kook, of course, would have thought these thoughts, assuming he would have lived through the same historical, you know, time period. And there are all sorts of different perspectives on this topic. But Tzvi Yehuda had very famous comments on Yom HaAtzmaut in 1967, just before the Six-Day War, just in terms of people, right? Now, Yom HaAtzmaut is Hey Iyar, just before Yom Yerushalayim, which is several weeks later, just before the Six-Day War, Tzvi Yehuda had very strong comments. He said, we have Eretz Yisrael, we have our Medina back, but where is Shechem, where is Hebron, where is Yericho, where is the rest of Yerushalayim? And literally just weeks later, you know, they won it back. Makazdikim, needless to say, felt, you know, look, our Rebbe is a Navi, not literally a Navi, but look, he's predicting, but the passion and love for Eretz Yisrael is definitely seen. The six-day war was seen as a major step towards bringing Geula, as well as the fulfillment of the Nevuah that of Jews returning back to their homeland, returning back to Eretz Yisrael. And the Merkaznikim, the Talmidim of Merkaz HaRav, Rav Tzvi Yehuda, definitely spoke about this and saw this. After the war, he led Merkaz HaRav to the view that this land belongs to Eretz Yisrael, and it's forbidden to give away any part of Eretz Yisrael or anywhere else in the world. Anyone else in the world should give it away as well. In 1992, Oslo came as a shock. In 2006, the Gush Katif disengagement, the Hitnat Kut, was literally a reason to tear Kriya for the Merkaznikim and the followers of Tzvi Yehuda, and a lot of that's because of the mindset he had developed, which is every inch we have is building towards the Geula. Giving away would almost undermine that process. The Merkazniki world had a very difficult time with some of the peace agreements of giving away land and giving land to the Palestinians, etc., etc. Did it mean that, you know, the Geula wasn't coming? So many people spoke out and said, no, of course. Sometimes you take two steps backwards to take three steps forward. Sometimes you take a step backwards to take two steps forward. It's a temporary, it's a this, it's a that. Not everything is clear. Not everything only builds towards Geula. And I think with Yehuda Amital, who's a Shiva of Gush HaTaim, probably the forefront of this, taking one step backwards for two steps forwards. And a lot of Shiva Yehuda's followers had a tougher time formulating it. He started in 1974. Gush Emunim, which is a huge settler movement, was started by him, and people started moving out to Yehuda v'Shamron, so, you know, to these areas. A lot of it was triggered by the Yom Kippur War. The slogan was Eretz Yisrael is for Am Yisrael, and a lot of the ideology was based upon this assumption. In terms of his personality, he had tremendous mesiras nefesh. At the end of his life, he had a medical operation, and he continued giving shiurim and sichot, despite the difficulty of his medical status. In terms of his personality, he was, although he, I guess it's debated how much of a Talmud Chacham he was. Some people think he was a huge Talmud Chacham, and some people think he knew how to learn. No one thinks he was Nam Aretz, but his emphasis, his focus, was much more on Emunah and on Hashkafah and his Sichot and his ideology. The debate is how much Gemara did he know, and how much was he familiar with Gemara and Rishonim and Halacha. I guess there are definitely people who would say that. There are definitely people. No, it's Talmud Chacham. Talmud would allow it. Yeah, Talmud Chacham would allow it. It is not a Talmud. It's Talmud Chacham. There are people out there who would argue that you could be a Talmud Chacham without Gemara. People argue that's the only way to become a Talmud Chacham is with Gemara. Okay, you want to leave out the term Talmud Chacham, but. Literally, a Chacham of Talmud.
What is Talmud?
Yeah, Talmud. Oh, they're the same word. Anyhow, you're right. In any event, it debated how much, you know, how much Gemara he was familiar with, or knew, etc., but his strength was more along the lines of dream and ideology and emunah and hashkaf and philosophy. His Talmidim is a lot of big Talmidim. One was Rav Moshe Levinger, one was Rav Shlomo Aviner, who's much more famous, writes a lot of Sfarim, Rav Shiva down the way, in Aparat Kohanim. Rav Tzvi Lau, who's Rav Shiva of Haramor, they split off. Rav Dov Lior, who's a major Rav, a major posek. Rav Aviner, he's a Talmud of Tzvi Yehuda. Yeah. Rav Dov Lior, who is a very chashuv Rav in Kiryat Arba, writes out of Chevron. Rav Yaakov Ariel, Rav Yol Ben Nun, many, who's Rav Shiva of Ein Surim, there are many, many others. You know, most of the Tzioni world, you know, and some way or another somehow learned by Rav Tzvi Yehuda or with Rav Tzvi Yehuda or something, and many other Talmidim as well, just to name a couple of quick ones. But Rav Tzvi Yehuda's influence is definitely felt in terms of sculpting and shaping and molding the modern both the modern Tzioni world as well as the Merkaz Tzioni world. He really was very influential in giving him direction as well as. You look around the Mechanchim, it's almost as if, like, you look at Rabbi Soloveitchik and look at how many of his Talmidim are influencing the modern Orthodox world and teaching the modern Orthodox world. It's almost the same with Tzvi Yehuda. They look to him as the leader and a manhig, and both of them as hashkafas, and his Talmidim are really sculpting and structuring and filling the Tzioni world here in Israel. We'll quickly.
Is Yehuda one more?
They call it, there's a printing press which is called a Musada Rav Kook. It's named after his father, Rav Avinu Cohen Kook. I don't think he started it, it's just named after him. No clue. It was said Rav Tzvi had no children, and his Talmidim took over after him, and again, his influence is definitely not lacking. And some people felt it was sad because he had no children and his father only had one son. So Cook's, Avram Yitzchak HaKohen's Cook's dynasty, in terms of his male lineage, Ben Acher Ben, didn't make it, but he has many daughters and they have children and they're learning and teaching and nephews. And, Baruch Hashem, the Cook family is still very heavily influential here in Eretz Yisrael. Comes from Klai Yisrael at large. I will stop here.